The title of my message this morning is Overcoming Expectations. And the verses I'm going to mainly read is from Matthew 3. I'm talking about John the Baptist. Verses 1 through 6, Matthew writes, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For he who was spoken of by the angel, by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Lord God, move in us today. Let us have John's heart, selfless, willing to sacrifice, willing to be isolated, set apart, to fulfill your purpose for his life. He knew it was all about you, Lord, not about him. He was a man, so we do understand that I'm sure he battled places of pride. But I thank you for that example, Lord. I thank you that you used a very unconventional man in your kingdom, Lord. And his example is, Lord, we have to lay aside and overcome our individual expectations of how you're going to move, what you need to do, for this is your church, Lord. Will we be stretched? Of course we will. If we're not stretched, I don't think the faith really matters. We don't want to be comfortable, Lord. We want to be faithful, clinging to you. In your name, amen. There's a young man named Austin Perrin. He's an unlikely hero. I read this a few months ago in Reader's Digest. It says, "Austin Perrin is not your typical superhero. Oh, sure, he looks the part with his signature cape flapping against his blue shirt. He has an arch nemesis, as all good heroes must. He even uses a catchy name for his heroic alter ego, President Austin. But two things set this caped crusader apart. His adversary is not confined to the pages of a comic book. President Austin's foes, hunger and homelessness, are very real. Also, he's 4 years old. Our hero's origin story started this past February in the Perrin family living room in Birmingham, Alabama. Austin and his father, TJ, were watching a program on Animal Planet about a mother panda leaving her cubs. "I told him that the cubs would be homeless for a while," TJ says. Austin did not know what homelessness meant, but he was sad and he wanted to know more. Seeing this as a teachable moment, TJ took Austin to the Firehouse Ministries, a local shelter that provides housing, food, and other services for chronically homeless men. As they drove by the red brick building, they saw a group of 25 homeless men standing on the street corner. "Dad, they look sad," Austin said. "Can we take them some food and make them smile?" That day, Austin used his allowance to buy each man a Burger King sandwich and handed the food out himself. Seeing what their presence meant to the men at the ministry, Austin and TJ returned the next week. Austin again dipped into his piggy bank to buy sandwiches, which he handed out along with his new catchphrase, "Don't forget to show love." You get a tax return, thousands of dollars. Is it in your bank account? Or do you go to Burger King to hand out food? I'm not saying you need to do that, but what I'm saying is, if you continue to read how this young man's ministry grew at 4 years old, We can do amazing things when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. When we say, God, I want to make a difference in this community. You know, if you read the scriptures more and more, you see, how do you show love? If you love your neighbor, if you see those that are down and out, and you go and help them. We live in a society that wants us to focus on my emotions, my desires, and boom. And you know what? You will always end up depressed when the mirror is your best friend. Moving forward as a church, we really have to hang on loosely to what we expect is going to happen. We have to really expect the unexpected. You know, John the Baptist, let's be honest, he really didn't fit the mold. I don't know, you know, I'm watching on Amazon, I think it's called The Rings of Power. It's kind of a Lord of the Ring thing, you know, and there's one guy in it, and he falls from the sky, and he's this old smelly guy with his really funky clothes on and a long beard, and that was John the Baptist. He wore really funky clothes. He ate locusts and honey, which wasn't weird back then, but I don't want to live like that. Can you imagine the religious leaders' faces when all these people started to go and hear him speak? You know, I like the show The Chosen in their portrayal of John because he's just kind of weird. But you know, if you lived out in the woods, you had this really interesting clothing, and you ate this funky food, you probably wouldn't know how to act in society either. But, you know, I just love, you know, a couple weeks ago, Mike Bartholomew talked about change. You know, we need to change who we are. What we believe on the inside changes us on the outside. You know, and I'm excited by what God's going to do. But, John the Baptist created a stir in the Jewish community. Are we ready for John the Baptist to walk through those doors and create a stir in this church? Because I think there's places where we're going to see how religious we really are at times. You know, the background is, this is what I love about John the Baptist. You know, his father, Zacharias, the angel speaks to him when he's doing his priestly duties. How can this happen? So he can't speak. So then the months go by and John's born, and usually back then they would name the baby at birth, but it's like 8 days later, there's a bunch of people around, and you know, the mom says, hey, his name's John, which they didn't understand because you should name it after the dad. So he writes his name as John, and boom, now he can speak because he obeyed. You know, the thing I like about Zacharias, he sees the angel, but he still doubts. Now, I'm thinking if an angel showed up right now and spoke to us, I'm hoping we wouldn't doubt. Then how come some of you, when I talked about hope and I talked about looking up rather than looking in, how come you still feel a little hopeless? How come you still feel a little empty? How come you still feel like you're overlooked by God? Because you're not. And the thing is, I have understood expectations can hamper us because it gives me a mindset where I limit God. I love how when he says his name is John, boom, he can all of a sudden speak. The first thing I want to talk about today, I hope, still hoping, is limitless. If you want to take this over, okay, cool, limitless. You love to serve God. I know you guys do. A lot of times, man, I really want to serve. I want to be a pastor. And you know, if you're saying that, I want to say congratulations, you're a fool. Why would you say that? Because I think if you want to be, you don't know what you're in for. But you guys love God, so in my Bible, I don't know if it's in yours, I found a help wanted thing. A young man to serve a position as God's messenger. There's no pay. There's no housing. Locusts and wild honey is available for food, but it's not provided. Applicant must be willing to work long hours, face fierce opposition, and grave dangers. If successful in meeting strict qualifications for position, applicant service will soon no longer be necessary. Sign me up. But where's the glamour? Where's the TV show? Where's the smoke coming out? I'm sorry. One of the John's greatest examples to us is a selfless service to God. If I was going to write a script on how God was going to bring salvation to the world, I don't think I would really include John the Baptist as being the forerunner of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thinking John wasn't invited to a lot of parties. You know, Linda talked about after 4 days, Lazarus probably had a funk to him. I'm sure there's time John had a little funk to him. I bet you he wasn't popular on social media either. Church, we're different. We have to understand moving forward that Jesus tells us we will be persecuted. I cannot believe how many programs I listened to this weekend on the radio, and they all had that as a theme. Persecution's coming. We want to fit in. I understand that. We want to have friends. I understand that. But we have to have John the Baptist mindset is, God, I got to do your will. What is God speaking to this church? The Great Commission. I'm asking you for one life. God is asking you to change. And please, I'm not just asking you to pray for that name. I'm asking you to reach out. Invite them for a meal. Invite them to have coffee. You know, in a few months, I want to do Invite Year One, where we have a four-running series. Then on a Sunday, we have one that's evangelistic. And we bring people. We bring one person. But you don't invite them to church. You meet them for coffee. You take them out for breakfast. Then you bring them to church. Because you say, hey, I'll meet you at church if you come. Well, you know 99.99 people aren't going to come. So we bring them. I love the fact that God used an unconformist to bring the message. I love the fact that when he came, there was no prophetic voice in Israel for 400 years. It was unexpected. But John was absolutely part of God's plan. And again, let's stop assuming we know where God's going, what he's going to do. But the thing about John is he understood submission. He understood humbly seeking God and obeying. We have to stop putting limits on how far into the water of obedience we're going to go with God. When I moved up north, I had somebody from this church say to me, man, I could never do that. And my heart was, I hope you're lying to me, because I hope if God calls you to give up everything and to move, then you do it. Because sometimes that's what God is doing. But I think a lot of times we get fearful because you're thinking, okay, he's going to make me be John the Baptist. No, God just wants a heart of obedience. Unbind him. So they unbound them. When God speaks to you, reach out to this person, then reach out to that person. We need to humbly pray to God and ask for direction. John lived a surrendered life and was powerful. I think it was Cynthia years ago said she got to a point where she prayed, God, what do you want? Because sometimes we treat Jesus like a Christmas list. Hey, I want this, I want this, I want this. You know what, God? You know what I want. How about what do you want, God? How about you give me the power to preach the gospel to people, that you show me who needs Jesus Christ? Now, the next point I want to talk about is shocking truth. Like I said, I would love to see the Pharisees' face when they look at John. When they see that God's using him, that we see a nonconformist powerfully used by God. How about this church in the mid-1970s where you had a bunch of hippies praising Jesus? Now, I remember when I got saved, I'm glad for people like Mylon Lefevre, for Rick Kuhl, for Petra, etc., because I didn't want, as a 20-year-old, to listen to the Gaithers. If you're a Gaither fan, good, look in the mirror and realize I am past middle age. But anyways, what am I saying? I needed music that touched me. And we have to be careful, because the more I've been studying lately about the progressive church, we have to be careful about the lies that are being crept in. But the thing that we have to understand is, don't we love hymns? Yes. Do you know a lot of them are beer songs they used to sing into bars they put words to? But now they're godly. We give it to God. God used somebody. What's he saying in Corinthians? He chooses the foolish things of the world. If you rely on your wisdom, if you rely on your words, then you know what? That's idolatry. God doesn't want self-reliance. He hates self-reliance. He wants Jesus' reliance. And one of the biggest things that I tell people about how God uses me, I want people to look at me and say, if he can use him, he can use me, because that's what it is. God uses us as we are. He's not going to change your personality, but he's going to change who you are. He's going to change how you look at things. A friend of mine wrote a book about tithing. Don't worry, I'm not going there. Open hearts, open heaven. We have to have an open heart to whatever God has. When God speaks to you, when you're going by that guy sitting by the road, looks a little down and out, maybe he's telling you to say, hey, what's up? Maybe say, take him over for a meal. Let's do what God wants us to do. If we're not reaching out to the down and out, then we're really not doing God's work. Many people rejected Jesus because he wasn't the Messiah they thought he was going to be. The disciples, as I spoke on last week, they all fled. Well, they didn't think he was going to be taken down. They thought he was going to take over the Roman government. And the Jews, man, that's why there's so many of them are deceived, is because Jesus didn't fit their mold of what God should look like. Hello, I want a God that doesn't fit my mold, because I want a God that knows a whole lot more than I know. Jesus wants to give us the freedom where we transition from rules to relationship. One of the things the last 5 years, God's been showing me all the places I was extremely legalistic. I was a Pharisee when I was a young Christian. And I will say this, I think the church in the 80s, I think I loved the church. I think there's a lot of condemnation, and I think there was a lot of lack of freedom. And I'm not saying we can just do whatever, because we can't, because my life is here to encourage you. How I act, what I say, what I eat, what I watch. I don't have freedom to do whatever I want to do. My life has to be a surrendered life. Now, one thing I've talked about the church, I don't have any major changes. We don't have any major changes planned. But we're praying, God, show us. Show us the next staff hire. Show us where we're going to go, Lord. But we have to lay it down at God's feet. You know, when I left my last church, I had an assistant pastor, George, and I went to my leadership, and I said, God's calling me out. I want to give the church to him. And they said, we don't know him. So I prayed, and I had a friend of mine, Matt Zare, came in, and he spoke one June of 2009, and we got together and said, hey, I really want you to pray about taking the church over. He prayed for 4 months, and he thought he was going to do it, till God said no. So I'm up in the air, because I don't know what's going on now. I go back to my elders and say, hey, Matt said no. They said, good, we want George. But you know what God did? In that time, they opened their heart and they prayed. And God showed them, this is the direction I want to go in. So, I spoke about shocking truth. I really would love it if I had a picture of John the Baptist. I know one of the reasons when I started going to gospel outreach, which became New Covenant Community Church, They're people I could relate to. They were real people. You know, I remember in the early 80s when we went looking for churches, you know, so many people, we were just a face. But we went to this church, and people talked to us, and not at us, they talked to us. And they cared, and that's the strength of New Covenant Community Church. And I know we've been through things, I don't care. The past is past. It's time for us to say, God, send us into the harvest field. When you leave those doors, you say to yourself, I am now entering the harvest field. But I'm not a person that likes to share my faith. Good, because you're looking inward. You need to look up, and you need to say, God, who do you want me to impact for your kingdom? What happens if you pray for somebody and you, because you're embarrassed or you're shy or you don't want to be rejected, you don't, and all of a sudden they die? I don't want that guilt trip. God's saying, I'm giving you hope, because wait, the best is coming. And I'm encouraged by that. You know, the next point I want to make, it's all about Jesus. Now, let me encourage you. We still have... When I talk about change, we still have our core beliefs. Our tenets of faith aren't changing. We believe the Bible to be inspired, the only infallible, authoritative word of God. Please, as you follow different groups that you like to do worship and you follow different churches, please look at what they say about the Bible. As I told you about this gentleman I know up north, Watertown area, huge church. All of a sudden, he's moving to the place where you can get saved after you die. No, you can't, because the Bible says you can't. But why? Because I want to tickle ears and have more people come. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of Christ in his virgin birth, in his sinless life, in his miracles, in his vicarious and atoning death, in his resurrection from the dead. We believe in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and in his personal and imminent second coming. You can read the rest of what we believe on our website, which, praise God, we're about to redo. So don't get nervous about change. I'm not going to lie to you. We're not going to start having different gospels other than the one of Jesus Christ. But we have to touch today's society in a relevant way. See, it's all about Jesus Christ. This is what I love about John the Baptist. If you read Matthew 3, 11 and 12, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Carrying the master's sandals was considered the most menial duty that a servant could perform. Upon entering a house, the sandals were removed by a servant who took care of them and brought them again when needed. If the master desired to walk barefoot, the servant removed his sandals and carried them. John felt himself unworthy to do for Christ even the menialest work of a servant. And that's from James Freeman. That's how humble he was. I took these things off and said, who wants to carry them until I put them back on? I don't think many hands would go up, because you have good discernment. John is saying, I'm not even worthy to do that. Too many of us, we say, I'm not doing that. I'm above that. No, you're really not. John learned a lesson that I need to learn and you need to learn. He worked hard at being unimportant. The focus is on Jesus Christ. We exist and we want to change so we have more people here for Jesus Christ. not for us. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. The first Sunday I spoke, I think it was January 25th, 2010, I made this comment, and I firmly believe it. The older I get, the less I want to do, and the more I need to teach. And I was promptly rebuked by somebody that said, "You're putting us to the curb." No, I'm not. I'm changing your role. I think it's in the Old Testament, I don't know if it's Judges or what, it said, hey, once you get to be like 50 as a judge, you sit back. Does that mean older people, you kick them to the curb? No, because younger people need our experience and our love. Newsflash, I'm going to be 64 next month. I'm not going to bring a bunch of young people. I said, I want to hang out with the cheeser, because old people smell like cheese. And my kids call me cheeser sometimes because I tell them to. But anyways, what am I trying to say? Are you willing to be unimportant? What's your role here? You better be raising up a replacement. We had a meat night the other night. Men eating animals together. Man, we had pulled pork. We had hot dogs. We had hamburgers. We had Joe Biggs' famous, incredibly hot green meatballs. Hope is from jalapeno. We were talking. I said, yeah, I'm going to retire in about 7 years. But then I thought later, I really hope they didn't think I meant I'm going to be doing this job for 7 more years. Breathe deeply, relax, because I'm not looking to do that. Seasons come and seasons go. When I talk to young pastors and I train them, I talk to them. You bring a young person in here, they preach, they get compliments. What does Proverbs say? A person is tested by the praise afforded them. If you talk to any old pastor that's been doing it more than 10 or 15 years, and you talk to them, what does it mean to you when somebody comes up and encourages you, which is really good to do, by the way? They said, yeah, again, not much. Why? Well, look what happened to Jesus, you know? Praise him, and 5 days later, crucify him. So what am I trying to say? The graveyard is full of irreplaceable people. I want to be John the Baptist. That's hard. That's hard. Maybe not for you. It is for me. He must increase. I must decrease. The religious leaders clung to their man-made rules. They were in bondage to their points of view. Seasons change, and churches go through different seasons. We've had a long winter. It's springtime and summer. The harvest season is coming. I like John the Baptist because it shows us it's up to God how he moves. I don't think Joseph would have signed up to be separated from his family and put in falsely in prison, etc., for years, but then God uses it. Mike B. said a few weeks ago, Mike Bartholomew, Donna Pratt said, don't get too comfortable. I heard a teaching on the radio this week. I can't remember who said it. No, actually, it was a guide to Victory Transformation Banquet. And this is a premise that Melody and I live by. When we get comfortable financially, meaning our budget lines up, et cetera, we then look for places to give more money into God's kingdom because I don't want to be comfortable. That relies on me. You know, John grew up separated for the kingdom of God. And you know what? There's friends that I don't hang out with much anymore because of my belief. Not that I don't want to, but they don't necessarily want to hang out with me. Okay, I can accept that. Do I like that? No. Does it hurt? Of course, I'm a human being. But I have to see that Jesus is worth it. Now, what do I mean by being set apart? Don't try to fit in. Don't compromise when you're with people and they're saying the wrong things and they're doing the wrong things. Well, I'm supposed to be all things to all people. Without compromise. Then you walk away. If it means if you don't go certain places, then guess what? You don't go certain places because Jesus is worth it. Being set apart will mean, often it means we feel isolated and we feel alone. God understands that. He uses our loneliness, to strip us and to bring us closer to Him. Are you in the place where when you're alone and you're down and out, you pray and you spend time with Jesus and you feel like you want to skip down the street? No good. Then you need to spend more time with God. And He's probably going to bring more loneliness into your heart because you're never alone when you got Jesus. You know, God loves us enough to allow the experience of being stripped of any self-reliance. If you're going through a hard season, maybe it's because God's looking down at me and He's seeing too much Beaumont. He ain't seeing enough Jesus. So He's going to strip me until I am down and out and say, God, help me. Then He goes, now I can use the guy. You look to yourself and say, well, they don't know what they're missing. You don't know what you're missing. It's called humility. God gives us gifts not to lift you up, but to lift Him up. And one of the things that I've learned being in this for 35 years is, you know what? You got character, you got calling, and you got talent. The one you look at last is talent. You look at character first. Then I will look at calling. Then I'm going to look at their talent. Because I'm not going to build with somebody that thinks they have a lot to offer. I want somebody to realize I got nothing to offer outside of the grace of God. Another thing about being set apart Again, I'm being stretched because I hate technology, okay? Faith, trust God for the outcome, even when you feel overwhelmed. There's some of you right now, man, you got to have some hope. And I wish that I had the syringe of hope and I would just put it in your arm and give it to you. But God wants to do that today. There's some of you that you need hope. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus struggles. He struggles and begs God, no. But then He humbly submits. Oh, John the Baptist is a powerful man. What happens when he's put in prison? Do you remember? He sends some of his followers to ask Jesus, are you the one? I read that and I say, John, if you just flip a couple pages prior in the Bible, you baptize the guy. And God speaks to him. How could you have doubts? Oh, yeah, he's a human being. Will you have doubts? Absolutely. Will I? Absolutely. But that's where we trust God in moving forward. Summarize, John the Baptist's life shows us God's ways are not always conventional. Faith to change means we lay down our individual expectations. I want you to read number 3 with me. Go. He must increase, but I must decrease. That was pitiful. I really hate to be this guy, but we're going to read it again, church. He must increase, but I must decrease. Don't get too comfortable. All change is coming. But the Bible will always be our guide. We won't go off of it. But here's the role you have to play. You have to be in the Word so when we preach, you know we're not giving you our opinions. Okay. Do you guys have I'm going to pray. And after the song, I didn't let them know ahead of time. Could you? This is what I want you guys to do. I want you all to stand up. I'm seeing yawns for the last 15 minutes, and I've seen some eyes closed, and you ain't praying. But I'm going to give you something, direction in Jesus' name. If you ever in church and you see somebody nodding off, it's okay to give them a dope slap. The Bible says we can lay hands on people. So, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord. I love John the Baptist, Lord. And I love the fact that I know my personality and he would make me squirm. For me, camping is a Red Roof Inn, Lord. But we want change, Lord. Personally, we don't, because I like being comfortable. But Lord, we want to do what you have called us to do. And I love the fact that this church is prepared for that, God. That we're accepting what you're doing and where you're taking us. But I also know, God, that's going to be tested. That's going to be tested. As Linda said, they had to unbind Lazarus. We have to move each other into places where we're bound in expectations, where we're bound in what we think is going to happen because of our opinions and our emotions, and we in our doubts. And when we have doubts, we do it in love. We talk to the leadership. We don't murmur sinfully to our friends. Lord, this is your church. Start with me, Lord. I say I must decrease and you must increase. Lord, I pray that you would show us how to touch this next generation, Lord. Raise up your leaders, Father. Show us the staff hires to make. Show us the changes to make. Jesus, we submit everything to you. We submit it all. Lord, I love John's ministry of repentance. For we need more than forgiveness, Lord. Forgiveness is just acknowledging we've done wrong. But repentance says, Jesus, I know you're God's son. I know you died for my sins. Here is my life. I am repenting, which means military term. I am about face, turning around, and not living for me anymore. Jesus, I'm living for you. We see that in John. Move in us today, oh God, we pray. In your name, amen. Feel like God saying to us, come forth. I don't do this a lot, but I feel like as we sing this again, God actually wants us to physically move, man. Just stand, just move and say, Lord, if that's your heart, say, God, I want you. My cup is empty. I need you. I want to be yours. Then I feel like God is saying, I want you to come forth. And we're going to sing that. And after we sing it and you move, you know, Bill's going to close us in prayer. But I feel like God is saying, I don't want you to sit in your seats and proclaim it. I want you to put feet to your mouth. I want you to put feet to your faith. So, Lord, fill us, we pray.
Touch our hearts. Reach down and touch our hands, these feeble hands. That which is weak in us, Lord, we ask that you use it to keep us close to you and calling on you. Mighty God, have your way with us. Have your way. And we can say this with confidence because we know that you are good. And you're very good at what you do. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name, Lord. Be glorified in us and each one of us here today. Be glorified again in this place called Oswego. Pour out your Spirit again in us, through us, Lord. Do a work for the glory and the honor of the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.